When you read those lists of sins again in 2 Timothy 3 in our scripture reading, you read about grievous times, terrible times, troubled times. It reads like the morning newspaper when you read about those that are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, and so forth. Hardened, selfish, money-loving, power-grabbing people. It sounds like the world around us today. And Paul said that this would be the case even in his day, and it's the case in our day that we are in the last days, we are in terrible times. Brethren, throughout time, from the first century till now, have been in grievous times of one form or another. Paul says in verse 5, to turn away from them. And that's good, and we can certainly do that, and we try to turn away from that. We try to live separate from that, but we're surrounded by that. And we have to deal with a world and a society where those types of people live. When I think of the grievous times that Paul speaks of, I think about the book of Psalms that we're studying in our adult class where the psalmist was surrounded by wicked individuals. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 11 this morning, I want to look at the question that the psalmist raises there. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I asked Eric if he would lead the song, How Firm a Foundation, taken from 2 Timothy 1 and verse 19, that the foundation of God standeth sure. There are things around us that are falling apart, but the foundation of God standeth sure. How firm a foundation we have if we will plant our feet squarely on the Lord. But when we look at the society around us today, in our nation, around the world, we find that indeed the foundations are crumbling and falling apart. Like the psalmist in Psalm 11, we are surrounded by troubled times. The list that the Apostle Paul gives reads like the daily newspaper. We have haughty and proud people, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That phrase means that we do not have a natural affection toward our own kin. That is what allows a man and a woman to abort their baby and then just go throw it in the dumpster behind the clinic. Without natural affection. We would cry over that. We would shed a tear. We would have emotions. But some people are so hardened that they'll do that. Historians tell us that in the first century there were those in Rome who were without natural affection. They would give birth to a baby and go just put it out in the snow and let the wolves eat it. They thought nothing of that. Without natural affection. Today we go to an abortion clinic. They just threw it outside, let the animals eat it. Now, who would do that? Someone without natural affection. You're so hardened and callous. Implacable, the idea of just being hardened. Slanders without self-control. No lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There's a lot of sin that goes on in our society that just has to do with pleasure, sexual and otherwise, and it's not according to God's word. And so we're surrounded by this kind of thing. In Psalm 11, the psalmist was surrounded by a wicked world. And he had one of two choices. He could run away in fear and cowardice and defeat, or he could stand firm. And when the foundations around us are falling, and the older we get, the more we see our society leaving God, we have a choice where we can run away and hide, or we can stand firm, and we can raise our children right. In Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations in this context is the world around the psalmist. And it appears to him that it's just being destroyed. It's falling apart. What can the righteous do? That's a good question. And that's the question that we want to address this morning from God's Word. So we're surrounded by a wicked society. What do we do? That's the next question. The foundations here are those principles that hold a people together. It's not talking about a literal stone foundation. It's the foundations of society. It's the foundations of humanity. Law, order, justice, all that is right and good and truth. This is what holds a person together. This is what holds a society together. And when those things fall and falter, then we end up with something similar to what was right before the flood in Genesis chapter 6, where the wickedness of man was evil continually. It's just a very sinful and sick society. Are we not seeing that happen today? Where principles of God's law and order and justice and right and good and truth are being tossed out? And so the psalmist sees what we sometimes see. The psalmist asks the question that we often ask ourselves, what in the world are we to do? We get up each morning and go to work or go to school or whatever the case might be. What are we to do in such an environment? That's what we want to look at this morning. I believe indeed the foundations are destroyed. We can run or we can have faith and take a stand. We can run away. We can run and hide. We can wring our hands and cry and lament all the days gone by and become unbelievers. Or we can stand with a strong faith and trust in God. What are the righteous to do? When you consider, for example, the foundation of the home, I believe that it is under attack. You look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, one man and one woman for life. The foundation and the fabric of the home is under attack today. When we're being told that homosexuality is fine, when we're being told that divorce for any cause is fine, the foundation of the home is under attack. And the evidence of that is we just keep building more and more juvenile delinquent facilities, more and more jails, more and more prisons. In fact, there is talk even in Congress about how that we can solve our prison problems. Well, let's just let some of them off early and let them go. Thank you. Let them back out into society where they often repeat what they did to put them in. And so the foundation of the home is under attack, and so we find it showing up later when the cute little baby grows up to be almost the monster. The father's not being the father. The mother's not being the mother. There's divorce. There's all kinds of problems. The foundation of the home is under attack. And what God designed in Genesis 2:18, He makes us, He gives us the blueprint. He made us. He knows how we work. We ignore all of that. We don't want any of that. And the foundation of the home is under attack. What are we supposed to do? I believe the foundation of our society is under attack. When you turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, this nation was built once on righteous principles, but we're slowly eroding that. And as we elect new officials and new Supreme Court justices and new presidents, we slowly take away the righteous principles upon which our society was built. And so the foundation of society is under attack. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. And I believe that the foundation of religion itself. These are the three institutions that God made. He made the home. He made society and civil government. He made the church. And when you take what He makes that is to be like a three-legged stool. Think about that. A three-legged stool. When you take out one of the legs of a three-legged stool, what happens? You fall over. And God gives us, as it were, those three points upon which to build our life. A godly home, a godly society, and a scriptural church When we have that in our life, it is sure and firm. But when you undermine one or more of those, then you fall over. And in the area of religion, we have the New Testament church. But starting, man doesn't take long to try to mess something up. Starting about the 2nd century, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, he slowly wanted to change the plan of the New Testament church. The work and the worship and the organization of the church. Until 606 AD, you have the first pope. You have the first full-blown evidence or fruit of what became known later as the Catholic Church. We're just going to change the New Testament pattern. And then we come to the 1500s with what's called the Reformation, and even more man-made churches are made, and we get away from the one body, the one faith. Now we have all kinds of human creeds and councils and catechisms, all kinds of books out there. One faith. No, we don't want that. We don't want one body. We have multiple denominations, you see. The foundation of religion has been under attack at least since the 2nd century or so. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get up each day? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves as the righteous? Well, first of all, I would suggest, turn back with me to Psalm 11 and let's read the text. I would suggest, first of all, that the righteous can trust in the Lord. We can take refuge in Him and we're not going to run away. In Psalm 11, verse 1, in Jehovah do I take refuge. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. I'm going to, in the midst of all of this, I'm going to take refuge in the Lord. I'm going to keep studying my Bible, reading my Bible, applying my Bible. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep attending worship services. I'm going to keep God as my refuge. If God is my refuge, how do you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I'm not going to run away. And how do you say that to me? Why do you say that to me? These words, starting here in verse 1 and running down through verse 3, some versions of the Bible have quotation marks around flee as a bird and then all the way down to what can the righteous do? These are quotes from some people. Now, it may be the psalmist's friends, for example. You know, sometimes our friends, they mean well, but they're a little misguided. Sometimes we get advice from our friends, and they think that they're trying to help. And it may be the case here that these are the psalmist's friends, and they're saying, well, if you've got all these problems, then just run like a bird to your mountain. Get away. Well, the problem with that is misguided advice. We don't need to be running. We need to be standing firm. These words may be the words of his enemies, in which case it would be words to try to discourage the psalmist or tear him down or try to defeat him in some way. Run away like a scared little bird, you see. Either way, the psalmist says, no. How can you say that to me? I'm putting my trust in the Lord. Do you know that there's a time to run? I think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. She comes and makes sexual advances toward him. What does he do? He runs. He leaves his coat. There's a time to run. There's a time to flee. Flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2:22. There's a time. Flee idolatry. Flee fornication. There's all those flee statements in the New Testament. There's a time to run. But this is not the time. So when the foundations are destroyed, home, society, church, we're not going to run. We're going to put our trust in the Lord. There's a time not to run. Do you remember Nehemiah? I love this story. In Nehemiah chapter 6, turn with me there. Nehemiah has come back. He's trying to rebuild the walls. He's trying to encourage God's people to rebuild. And he has all of this discouragement. He has enemies on the outside trying to discourage. If you build the wall, a fox could go up and knock it down. You're not going to be able to finish. And all these discouraging words and so forth. Well, he also has other kinds of discouragement. Nehemiah 6, verse 1, Sanballat, Tobiah, come out on the plains of Ono. And let's just talk about this, you see. Come out on the plain of compromise. Come out here and let's talk about how that you don't really have to do the Lord's work. Don't ever let anybody invite you to the plains of Ono. Don't ever let anybody invite you to that. But then we've got this other one on down in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Why don't you just run into the temple and hide there, you see? Maybe you can get away from your enemies that way. Nehemiah 6:10, and I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Medahabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee, who is there? Who is there that, being such as I, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. I've got work to do, people. And you're not going to cause me to run and hide out in the temple and be scared and possibly stop my work. I'm not going to run. And really, that's what the psalmist says here. When the foundations are crumbling, brethren, it's not a time to run. Your children will see that, and what good will that be? We're not going to run. We're not going to run from what's right and good. We're going to keep living right, and we're going to put our trust in the Lord. Number two, when we put our trust in the Lord, it's not going to be in economics. I'm all about saving, and I'm all about retirement and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not where our ultimate trust is at. Economics, Social Security, well, we'll just put the right politicians in. No. Well, maybe America will make treaties with other countries and things are good. No. Wickedness is all over the world. This problem is all over the world. The ultimate solution is not in these things, but trust in the Lord. And number two, we're going to patiently wait for the Lord. Turn back with me to Psalm 11. Someone was telling him, flee as a bird to your mountain. And the psalmist says, no, how can you say that to me? I'm not going to do that. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. When you look at the context of verse 2, it leads me to believe that the statement, flee as a bird, is probably from his enemies. Run away, scared little bird. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. And brethren, there are arrows being shot at the upright in heart. God is being defamed in this country. The Bible is being defamed in this country. The upright in heart are being poked fun at and laughed at. You can openly poke fun of religious things, but don't you dare say anything negative about homosexuality or other kinds of things. Arrows are being shot today at the upright in heart. Not literal, of course. If the foundations be destroyed, and that's the context of this statement, surrounded by the wicked who are shooting their arrows, it's as if the foundations are falling. What can the righteous do? Well, number one, we're not going to run away. We're going to put our refuge in the Lord. Number two, look at verse 4. Jehovah is in His holy temple. Jehovah, His throne is in heaven. But look at it. Look at it. His throne's in heaven, but He's not up there sleeping. He's not up there just sort of, unconcerned. Look at the next part. His eyes behold, His eyelids try or test the children of men. The fact that He's in heaven is not a point where somebody should say, well, He's unconcerned. It's actually the opposite. That's where His throne is, which where He rules from all of His creation, and He sees everything. And so number two, what we're going to do is we're going to patiently wait for His judgment, because He sees what's going on, and He's not ambivalent or unconcerned about all those babies that are aborted every year in America and around the world, and the homosexuality and the other kinds of things. He sees, but we have to patiently wait. He has His timetable. And we trust that He will do what is right. The Lord will take care of His own. I asked Eric if we could sing How Firm a Foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God is sure. The Lord knoweth those who are His. He takes care of His own. Romans 8:31-39. If God is for us, Who is against us? It's a rhetorical question Paul asked. He's not asking for information. He's not asking because he doesn't know. It's a rhetorical question. The point is, if God is for us, there's nobody that can beat him. Hebrews 13:5-6, he will take care of us. Turn with me to Proverbs 10:25. If we will continue to live by righteous principles, the Lord knoweth the righteous. He knows those who are his. He will reward them. He will take care of them. Proverbs 10:25. When the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Look, society may be crumbling, the home may be crumbling, religion may be crumbling, but you in your family, your personal life, your marriage, your children, living by righteous principles, that is a foundation in and of itself. When everything falls apart, you're on sure ground. Like the man who built his house on the rock. The text says, I like how Luke puts it this way, that when a man digs down deep and he makes his foundation on a rock, it's the word of Christ. Jesus said, if you hear these words of mine and do them, it's like a man who digs deep and puts his foundation on a rock. And when the storms come and the problems come, he holds firm. If we don't listen to the words of Jesus, it's like the man who builds his house on the sand. It just falls apart. And that's what we're seeing in our world today. Let the Lord take care of the evildoers. He sits on his throne. His eyes behold what man is doing, and he will judge them. We're not going to take revenge. We're not going to engage in some sort of personal vengeance. We're going to let the Lord take care of that. Romans 12:18-21. Let the Lord, in His vengeance, take care of these evildoers that are causing the home and society and religion to fall apart. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. What do we do? What do we do? Well, what did Jesus do? You know, we went through that a few years ago. What would Jesus do? Good question. Second question is, will I do what Jesus did? We need to find out what Jesus would do, but then the follow-up is, I need to follow that. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not. When we're surrounded by things that are wrong, we're not going to physically and verbally fight back. What did he do? He committed himself, his Father, to him that judgeth righteously. And so we're going to just turn our lives over to God. We're going to follow His Word. We're going to let Him take care of that. Back up to chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all men. That's hard to do. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That's hard to do sometimes. But you fear God. You follow God's Word. And when you're surrounded by wickedness, you let God take care of those things. When he reviled not again. And so we're not going to engage in some sort of petty revenge. We're going to try to overcome evil with good. We had a lesson on this a few weeks ago, that when the foundations are falling apart, we need to try to overcome evil with good by going out and teaching them, trying to change them, trying to uphold righteous principles, but never engaging in any kind of personal revenge or retaliation. Number one, we're not going to run. Number two, we're going to wait for the Lord who sits in judgment. Number three, we're going to continue living righteous lives. Turn with me to Psalm 11, and let's pick up the reading with verse 5. The fact, brethren, that the foundations around us are falling apart does not give us a right, an excuse to say, well, I guess we just sort of give in and go with it. Our nation is going down the tubes. And so just listen to any kind of music and watch any kind of movies, because, you know, we're just going to throw our hands up and there's just nothing you can do. No. There's always a righteous remnant. There are always those, when everything's fallen apart, where brethren live right, and we need to be among those. Verse 5, Jehovah trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Be patient and let the Lord take care of these people who are bringing our nation down and our homes down and religion down. Let the Lord try them. The wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Be patient and let him do that. Fire and brimstone and burning wind. And we know that in the judgment day, that's hell, shall be the portion of their cup. But look at verse 7. For Jehovah is righteous. He loveth righteousness. The upright shall behold his face, which is an expression of being in fellowship with him, be right with him. When all of this is falling apart, we continue to live upright lives. What are some things that we need to continue doing? Well, look at Acts chapter 4. Turn with me there. When things were falling apart in Jerusalem, right after the church is established, Peter and John are preaching in the name of Jesus, and these Jewish authorities throw them into prison. We don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus. What do? They continue to pray to God. They gather together with the brethren and they pray to God. Acts 4, 24 through 31. They go back out and preach with all boldness. They obey God rather than men. Acts 5, 28. So when the foundations are falling apart, continue to pray and obey the Lord. It's not a time just, well, you know, we live in the 21st century and things are bad, so let's just go with it. No, sir. We're going to live right. The Lord is righteous. He loveth righteousness. And He's looking for you to live that upright life. And so we have to continue living right and raising our kids right and good marriages and good families and good Christian living. We need to continue to assemble with the Lord, the Lord's people. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Do you remember the problems that were mentioned there in the book of Hebrews? They had some problems. They had problems around them. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Hebrews 10:33, partly being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Can you imagine being a Christian in the first century and you're a gazing stock? People look at you and laugh. That's how it was. So what did they do? They continued to be faithful. We will not shrink back, verse 39. They continued to be faithful, but what admonition was given them back in verses 24 and 25? Consider one another to stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking your own assembling together. It's by coming together that keeps us faithful. It helps us to remain faithful and strong, and it helps us to get through these times of suffering. Verse 26, we're not just going to go out and start sinning willfully. That's not going to make anything any better. We're going to remain faithful. We're going to not forsake the assembling in difficult times. We're going to continue to remain active in the local church. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. When you read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about the seven churches of Asia, you're reading about brethren in a Roman Empire that persecuted Christians. Often with Nero in the 60s A.D. and then later with Domitian in the 90s A.D. Bam, bam. In just a few years apart, you're being hit by Roman persecution. What do you do? Well, you just quit. No, you're in a local church somewhere and you remain steadfast and faithful. And at the end of every one of these letters, John says to the local churches, to him that overcomes. It means be victorious. It's the word Nike plastered all over our apparel today. Nike, victory, overcome, win. But you have to be faithful in the local church. And if Ephesus is cooling off and losing their first love, they need to get back and be zealous and on down through the seven churches. If you're harboring immoral people like Jezebel in the church at Thyatira, then you need to get rid of that person. The local church and being an active member in it is what helps us to overcome when the foundations are falling apart. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And we cannot simply be a church with a name but we're actually spiritually dead. Oh yeah, the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ. That's been around, you know, since the whatever. No. I've got to be active in my service. And so what does he say? Remember the first works, you see. I have found no works of thine complete or perfected. Remember, therefore, and keep the works. Repent. Stay busy. Whether it's inviting people, setting up a study, volunteering for work here, evangelism, edifying brethren, teaching. We can't just be name only. So we continue in upright living. And we continue to live for heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And if the foundations of our nation are falling apart and going to pot, then so be it. And I'm so thankful that I was born an American citizen. We have so many privileges and blessings here. But my greater citizenship is in heaven. And every day we get up, we think about that. That's where we ultimately want to go to live. And we continue living the upright and righteous life that allows us to go there. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, there's one last thing, and we want to jump outside the text of Psalm 11 for just a moment in order to make this point. The first three points come from Psalm 11. The last point comes from the period of time when God's people came back after the Babylonian captivity, and after the Babylonians had sacked Jerusalem and tore down the foundations of the city and the temple, what did God's people come back and do 70 years later? They got back in the ball game, and they came back, and they rebuilded and they repaired the foundations. And if you see something around you falling apart, whether it's my own family, whether it's my own religion, whether it's something around me, get back in there and rebuild it. I tell you what, it takes strength and fortitude and courage. And that's what Ezra had. That's what Nehemiah had. And in Ezra 3, 8 and following, they got back in there and they rebuilt that foundation. And the report goes out later, chapter 4 and verse 4, that the Jews are rebuilding the foundation. And when Nehemiah hears that his city is falling apart, Nehemiah 1, 3, he cries. And then he goes and he does something about it. And in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1, the people divided up and they started rebuilding the walls. And there may be a time for lamentation. In fact, we have a whole book on Lamentations, talking about the fall of Jerusalem. There's a time to lament our nation. There's a time to be concerned and cry over the way things used to be and all that. But when that's over with, there's also a time for rebuilding. Now, I don't know how much we can do about our whole nation, but I believe there are foundations around us that we can work on. We may know of some family that needs to be rebuilt or some church situation that needs to be rebuilt. There's two ways that I would suggest doing this. First of all, by just simply keep teaching the Word of God. That's how you rebuild the foundations. In 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the pattern. But look with me at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. You don't just hold it fast. That talks about your personal attitude toward keeping the Word of God pure in your lives. You're going to follow New Testament authority. But look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. You have to pass it on to others. And so that's why we have a teaching program. That's why we want to teach the children. But not just Bible classes at the church building. We also want to teach others. And so the things that you have heard from me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We need to be passing this on to the next generation of men and women and encourage them to pass it on to the next generation. Keep that pattern being taught. And then secondly, if someone leaves the faith in some way, let's restore them. the foundations are crumbling, and sometimes it affects brethren. And you'll find where some member of the church is no longer faithful. What can you do? Go back and try to help them. A family member, a concerned member of the church. If we convert a sinner from the error of his way, we have saved a soul from death. So restoration through teaching, restoration through trying to bring someone back to the fold. What can the righteous do? Well, we're not going to run. We're not going to flee. We're not going to run in fear like a bird to a mountain. We're going to stand and have a faith. We're going to put our refuge in God. We're going to patiently wait for the Lord to judge the wickedness around us. We're going to continue living upright lives. And as we have opportunity, we're going to rebuild what has fallen apart. And maybe you know of someone who has fallen apart. Pray. Continue to try to work with them. Bring them back so that their feet can stand squarely on the foundation of God's Word. I thought that this lesson was appropriate for us in the time that we live in. If the foundations be destroyed, and oh, believe me, they often are, what can the righteous do? We can do what we're told to do, and in doing that, we'll be ready to meet the Lord when He comes. If you're not ready, and you need to begin to build your life on the foundation of God's Word, we would encourage you to do that by coming and repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Or as an erring child of God who needs to come back, you can do that and we can pray with you. We're not going to run. No, we're not going to run. We're going to stand in faith and trust in God. And if we can assist you to do that, why won't you come? We stand and sing.